This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia on July 6th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Monday Night Trivia, 3 big hours. Got 11 bumper stumpers for you. And our questions. Now, last week, as you know, I really screwed up when I got the wrong straggler. So we were asking two questions simultaneously. And the one I threw out last week was actually gotten before the end of the show. At the end of the show, I was going to reveal the other straggler since it had been a carryover from the week before. But I forgot. And so with that in mind, I vowed, well, on my blog anyway, to allow you a half hour to determine some answers, if you've got some, and then we'll hit yet another question. But this was the straggler that remains unanswered, and we'll give you this half hour, and then I'll reveal, because enough is enough. People are more likely to do this in Nevada, least likely to do it in Alabama. Do what? All right, so that is it, and that's only good until the half hour news. All right, so, and then a new question coming right up. All right, now, if you don't know my question, not a clue, you haven't even heard any bumper stumpers yet, then the next best thing is have your own category, and everybody knows something about something. So let's kick it off, shall we? We've got Don and Beloit, we've got Barry in New Hampshire. Barry wants 5x5, and that, of course, is courtesy of Laura and Lisa. Great questions, gals. Appreciate it more than I could ever say. All right, so Barry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
So, 5x5, huh?
I do, yep.
Okay. What is the main protein in coavin?
Coavin?
C-O-Q, next word, A-U, third word, V-I-N.
Pork.
Chicken. That's all right. So. Who is Bambi's best friend and what kind of animal is he?
Rabbit and pumper.
Absolutely. What is commonly called the first deadly sin?
Jealousy.
Pride.
Oh.
We'll talk to
All
you
right.
next week. Okay, thanks.
All right.
So, in case you were wondering, yes, pride is the first one, followed by greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. All right, so some of those sound downright fun, and then others don't. All right, so let's see. Donna's in Beloit. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How's it going?
I'm okay. I'm sizzling here last week, but it's better weather up here today.
Well, good. See, we don't get any respite until October. So, yeah. All right.
We have the usual, which I call weather, but I mean there were some really, really wicked storms that came through here.
Oh, yeah.
More wicked than normal. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the whole world's going crazy that way. I mean, between earthquakes and storms and unusual happenings, and of course, all the people online saying it's solar flares, it'll all be over soon. Who knows? All right, so your phone is digitizing out on you, but if you can hear me, I will give you your question. All right, now you want Battle of Britain, which basically 1940, Germany versus Great Britain. And the Luftwaffe enjoyed a major edge in total aircraft during the early stages of the battle, but the RAF had a secret weapon. What was it?
Are we talking engine category?
Nope.
Oh. Wow. I'm sorry. You're going to have to... I didn't catch that. The Luftwaffe had an advantage in engines.
The Luftwaffe had an advantage in total aircraft, as far as that goes. But
right.
The RAF
right.
had a secret weapon.
Oh. They did.
Yeah, they did. They had a secret weapon.
Radar.
Yeah, there you go.
Looking for radar, I think.
Absolutely. Okay. Radio direction finder developed in the 1930s, and the British built a ring of radar stations along their coastline. And primitive, did the job. All right, good deal.
I got one guess on the straggler. Can I do one?
Oh, you can do as many as you want.
Well, how about stop smoking?
No.
Default on a car loan.
No.
Okay. Could I give you three songs? I haven't given any songs in months.
All right,
lose my list.
Well, yeah. Weeks anyway. Let me find the list so I actually will hopefully keep this around. All right. So So, all right. What you want?
Sonny Boy Williamson has a good song called Checking Up on My Baby. Check on my baby.
Okay. All right.
A very early Dolly Parton hit was Dumb Blonde.
It was. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And one more. Not Ya Ya. There's so many songs like Ya Ya, but this one's called it was originally called Yay, 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 but it was shortened to Yay, Yay by, I don't know, this is...
You're talking about Georgie Fame?
And the Blue Flames, yeah.
Yeah, he actually
the DJs around Europe screwed it up, and they shortened it to Yay, Yay.
Yeah, no, it's fine. He was actually quite a good jazz singer, but that didn't make the charts. But yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll play that for you, sure.
We'll do it. Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, Rob, you have a great show, and it's always great listening to you.
Well, hang on. I'll have John add to your stash, which, you know, you'll get hopefully while you're still alive. Don't go away. All right. So we're really don't wanting to do too many of them posthumously. It's just bad form. All right. But they're worthless. The certificates are a lot of fun, but anything else you get is utterly worthless, and you're playing Monday Night Trivia for the fun of it, and I am grateful to you for that, because after all, trivia is about the most requested show I do, but... The deal is, can't play trivia without contestants. So this is the one night a week when you got a call. So 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. We'll get to Billy Bob and Bourbonnais, who wants advertising. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Bye.
WGN Radio. Well, there you have it. Your first bumper stumper. One of my all-time faves, actually, 1963 on Motown. Yeah, I haven't played that in a while. Who is she? All right. Yes, and Barry Gordy used her to get Mary Wells to behave, which Mary did briefly. But for this lady, that was one and done as far as her Motown career. And she's a child at the time, actually, teenager. All right, so 888-876-5593. And as I say, we're going to give up our straggler at the end of this half hour. So I'm deferring to anyone calling about that. Yeah, and I had it right in front of me minutes ago. Yeah, it's like that. Show's been on now, what, 15 minutes? I've already lost the question. All right, people are more likely to do this in Nevada, least likely to do it in Arizona. Do what? All right, so let's see. I believe Bob in Willowbrook's going to take some guesses. What do you think, Bob?
Good evening, Raleigh. Yeah, I've got a half a dozen. Join a union.
No. What else you got?
Hire a realtor.
Nope. Keep going.
Hire a lawyer.
Nope.
Phone a psychic.
I love that. No.
Okay. Well, at least we got a laugh out of it. Hire a tax service.
Nope.
Okay, I think I said six, but I've got only five.
Well, that's all right. If you think of something real quickly, you can call us back. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.
Not likely. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Good night.
Yeah, and I'll reveal it. And, you know, then again, I'm glad that I'm miles from you and you can't come through the speaker and grab me because for the most part, you'll say, what? That's a question? Well, it's a statistic and it's valid. All right. So, again, you got moments if you want it. And I think so far nobody does. I think we're going to have advertising and 5x5 and MASH, and Chuck has a request. But, again, people are more likely to do this in Nevada and least likely to do it in Arizona. Do what? All right. So, by the way, just there, I won. I'm still fighting the no-see-ums, but I just managed to kill one right on the question. So maybe that's an omen. Maybe you've got an answer. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. So Billy Bob, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I'm caller.
That would be 103rd?
Yeah. No. Well, I'd like to make a request for Blood, Sweat, and Tears, the guy that kicked the bucket. Lucretia McEvil, if you play that one for
all
me.
All right, let me get the list out so I can. I had it here a moment ago. It was here. Oh, here we go. Okay.
Was his name? Clayton Harris or Clayton something?
No. Trying to think.
See, it stumped you.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I'm trying to think of something who this is. It's actually David Clayton Thomas, I'm pretty sure. Which is sad because he was really the heart and soul of that group when it came to hits. And I think he wrote...
Yeah, he had a tragic lifetime, I guess, when he was younger.
I think he wrote Lucretia McEvil. I'm not sure. He wrote Spinning Wheel. So anyway, Billy Bob wants Lucretia.
And I don't mean to be boastful or braggadocious, but tonight, I'm going to give you the answer to my advertising before you give me the question.
Oh, like I'm going to know? All right. Well, we'll see.
The answer is Bonami. Remember that cleaner you used to clean your sink?
Bonami, yeah. What do you mean used
Bonami.
To?
Bonami.
I still use it.
Yeah, that's French for good, my dear, I think. Bonami.
Well, you mean other than being a cleaner? I have no idea. I mean, their slogan is haven't scratched yet, but I'm sure that's not it. I think bon ami means just like a sweetheart, a good friend, things like that.
Yeah, my dear, my good friend, a good dear or something.
Okay. Well, so good friend, whatever. So, yes, good cleaner. Absolutely. Use it to this day. It doesn't scratch.
How about that?
Yep, doesn't scratch.
I guess I ain't right then.
Why, you don't use
it?
No, I use that most of the time now. For things that I know don't scratch, I go for Barkeeper's Friend. But for anything where I have a question, Bonami is my choice. And they're sold in all the stores.
A handyman show on WGN, he recommends that all the time, Lou Manfredini.
Yeah, I agree.
He always talks about Bartender's Friend.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Barkeeper's Errand works great, but it will destroy something that can scratch. So I do not recommend that for things where you're worried about the them scratching. But other than that, Barkeeper's Friend is just a miracle worker.
And then I'm probably wrong, but I want to guess on that song, right, which from coming back from the rake from Motown. Was that Cleo Lane?
No.
Oh, I give up. I'm done then.
Okay. Well, do you want a slogan?
Well, yeah. I guess I wasn't right about Mona. I mean,
the name that's known is, and I'll say that it's automotive related. The name that's known is.
Yep, I'm done.
Firestone. The name that's known is Firestone. All right, thanks. Yep. Appreciate it.
Have a good evening.
And you too. All right, we got a first-time caller, and she's going to get some guesses, too. It is Linda, and Linda is in Chicago. So, Linda, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you very much, my dear. I adore your show.
Great to have you. So what do you think?
Nevada, is it Nevada and Arizona or Alabama?
It's Alabama. It's the most are in Nevada. Most people are more likely to do this in Nevada than in any other state, and least likely to do it in Alabama than any other state. Do what?
Is it gambling?
Nope. What else you got?
Prostitution?
Nope.
Okay, that was my best guess.
Well, that's very nice. Thanks, I appreciate it.
You can tell where my mind's at.
Well, I can understand it, but, you know, believe it or not, prostitution's not as easy as you think in Nevada. It's county by county and absolutely illegal in Clark County, which is Las Vegas. That's why they go to Pahrump.
Really?
Yes, it's county by county. And, of course, the Kingdom of Nye, that's Pahrump. Nye County has very loose laws about it, including same-gender prostitution.
I learn something from you every night.
Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Well, can I request a song? Did you play Ray Charles yet?
Well, I always play Ray Charles, but what do you want to hear?
Yeah, for what is it? God Bless America, or his song, his favorite, the song he does for 4th of July.
I didn't play that, but for you, I will, Linda, since you're a first-time caller. It'll be later in the week.
Take your time, dear, at your convenience.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate
it. Bye-bye. Okay, bye. All right, yeah. Well, I was going to go for greenbacks, but that's just me. All right, we've got a precious few seconds. Anybody else want to guess? Yeah, Connie, a first-time caller, is in Des Plaines. Connie, welcome back to, well, not welcome back, welcome to WGN Radio. What do you think?
I am going to say ice skating.
I like it. It's not right, but I like it.
Shoot.
What else
okay.
you got? All right.
That's all I had.
Thanks for calling. Do it again.
Sure. Thank you. Bye.
All right. So let me see. Is there anybody else who wants to take a guess? I got a 5x5. I got a mash. I got requests. And we've got the news coming up in seconds. So if you want it, this is the absolute time to have it. And looks like I'll be revealing since the news is on in 20 seconds. People are more likely to cremate the dead, the dearly departed, in Nevada. Cremation is the least likely to happen in Alabama. All right, so yes, more likely to cremate in Nevada, least likely to cremate in Alabama. All right, so there you have it. I got another question coming up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so who are they? 888-876-5593. So now that I have revealed a question, well, our straggler, it's time for another question. And, oh, man, if you hated the last one, wait until you hear this. All right, glad you're doing it for the fun of it and very appreciative of that, but here's your question. George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what? All right, George Washington, yes, the president, ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what? All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Now, we got full line, so let me release Connie's line because she left us. All right, there's one line available for you. If you get a busy signal, just call back when you hear somebody hang up because that's the best way to do it. Oh, I think Kathy from McHenry was going to guess on a trivia question. She got in there a little late, so let me find out, A, if she's still there, and B, if that was what she was going to say. So, Kathy, are you still with us?
Hi.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi, good evening. I am still with you.
All right. So, yes, we revealed it. We revealed it. It was cremation.
Yes.
All right. So the new question, though, George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what?
I haven't the slightest.
Do you want your own category?
No, that's okay.
Well, call me
that's
back okay. sometime. I'd love to hear from you.
I will.
Okay, thanks,
Kathy. I'm listening to you.
Great to have you.
Good
Thank
night.
You. Okay, bye. All right, so there you have it. Yes, George Washington. What's he ordering his help to do every morning? I tell you what, Cleveland Dennis knows a bumper. Welcome to WGN Radio. What'd you hear? You know.
Well, I don't know the answer to the new question, except I'll give it a stab with clean as wooden teeth.
No.
Okay.
By the way, they weren't wooden. I know that's a wonderful myth, but they weren't.
Well, I don't know too much more about his teeth, but I'm pretty sure I know how he died.
Well, that's good. But now your answer is actually closer than a lot of people are going to come.
Well, can I state a factoid that I think I know?
Yeah.
The barber stripes. Because the barbers had straight razors, they used to do bloodletting, and bloodletting led to George's passing.
Oh, really?
I don't know if anybody guessed it because I was blank there for a few minutes. The first song you play tonight on the bumpers.
Yeah.
Motown from 1963.
Yeah.
Linda Greiner.
Absolutely right. And she's still with us. She's a real estate agent in Las Vegas. But
in
man,
Las Vegas, that's surprising. Yeah.
She got the worst end of the deal. I mean, she was a teenager, of course, so she didn't have a lot of a lot of experience or clout. But Berry Gordy literally just used her as a weapon to say to Mary Wells, you know, see, you can be replaced. And then once Mary got in line, albeit briefly, they said to Linda, well, thanks, but no thanks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't know that part, but that cut I have from early on. Early Motown albums, not so much. I do have a bunch of Motown 45s, but the albums, it seemed like Motown was producing in the late 60s albums of their various hits.
Yeah, absolutely. Artists. Yes, yes. And, almost as a budget line. Yes, that's true. But yeah, this came out on a single in 63. Yeah, a lot of the labels did that, like Cameo Parkway in the mid-60s did all those Wincoat albums. So yeah, it wasn't unusual at all. Okay, so I looked up Dear Old George, and yes, acute bacterial epiglottis, and where your thought comes in is they believe that it was the aggressive bloodletting treatments ordered by his doctors that led to this and, of course, killed him. So in the final 24 hours of his life, physicians drained 80 ounces, over 2.3 liters of his blood. That's, I don't know, about half of the blood volume almost. And so
seems like a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope they were better barbers.
Well.
All right.
I don't know the fine points, but always listening, and that's really all I got tonight.
Well, hang on a minute. We'll add to your stash. I'll have John add to that. Don't go away. Eventually, you do get something. I don't know when, but like I say, you do it for the fun of it. Let's see. What are we doing here? Well, we've got my question. I don't have any takers yet on this. I do like it, though. George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what? All right, so I can just see the help brushing his teeth. All right, but hey, closer than you might expect. Paul in Woodstock, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
What's up?
I'd like to do a 5x5.
And I'd like for you to do that. So let's see where we are here. All right. Whose face launched 1,000 ships?
Queen Elizabeth?
Helen of Troy.
Helen of Troy, of course.
I think Queen Elizabeth stopped 1,000 ships. But all right. What's a church key slang for? Yeah, we all... I carry church keys right on my key ring. What are they?
Like a skeleton key?
Oh, no, you're young. It's bottle openers.
Oh, geez.
Church keys. Yeah, I have them on all my keychains for my Mexican Coke, of course. All right, well, you can get two wrong, so you've got one right, one wrong, so you just have to get the next three right. Where did George Jetson work?
Spacely Sprockets.
Very good. I love that. All right. What does FOMO mean?
Fear of missing out.
Absolutely. You got one more. You can do it. What was the Jolly Green Giant's first vegetable?
The first one that he would have released probably would have been peas.
Yes, absolutely right. You're right. Okay, yeah, before that there were the horrible canned variety, but yes, from the Garden of the Jolly. All right, you are a winner.
Cool.
All right, hang on, don't go away. Appreciate Thanks. It. And so we'll add to Paul's stash. I believe he's won before. If not, John will get an address, and then you'll wait. and wait. Yeah, I keep meaning for you not to wait, but hey, life intervenes. All right, so now Cindy in Chicago is going to guess on our George Washington question. Yeah, ordered his staff to do this every morning. Do what, Cindy?
Have a prayer devotion, prayer meeting, read the Bible, pray, say the Lord's Prayer.
No, got anything else?
No, but then I tried to tell, I guess I drew a blank. I don't know if it's from lorazepam or just I had a lot of stress. I just, bipolar people, after a while, can't take stress, and I'm drawing a blank. I had two requests. That's what it was. I couldn't get the words out. That song, Beach Nut, whatever, the phone number, you can have a date any time.
That's Beachwood 45789, the Marvelettes.
Yeah. And then what was the other one? Hello, Dolly with Louis Armstrong.
All right.
And then I wanted I'm going to try Sanford and Son. I don't think I've seen every episode.
Oh, you would like a Sanford and Son trivia question, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe next time after that I'll do Good Times because that show, because I've seen every episode.
All right. All right. Well, I've got over 100 question here. All right. After accidentally breaking Lamont's glass collection, how does Fred cover up the mishap?
I didn't see that. Let me guess. He puts it under the couch, under the couch cushion.
Oh, it's much better than that. He fakes a robbery.
Oh, wow.
All right. Thanks.
I never saw that one.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so there you have that. Yeah, it was clever all the way around. Now, let's see. I believe we will be, if I can find it, doing some MASH trivia with Shane. So, Shane, where are we driving tonight?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
All right. How about yourself?
Slight headache, but good.
Oh. That's...
We're heading up north to Milwaukee.
Oh, good. Yes, there we are. All right.
I'm stuck on this until December.
Really? Then what happens in December?
Then we have a rebid and we see what bids are open.
Oh, now that's interesting. So you can bid your route, kind of like flight attendants bidding theirs. I like that.
Right, and it all goes by seniority. So
oh, of course.
The best routes that we can get.
Now, when you
more
talk...
More miles, more money.
Yeah, when you talk about routes, is this actually intercontinental or is it regional?
I go home every morning, so I leave out of Campton Hills, which is Hampshire, Illinois. And I'll go to Milwaukee, which is only 90 miles. And then from Milwaukee, they'll dispatch me probably like Thursday. They sent me to Indy. I can go to Madison. I can go to Tomah, Quad City.
Okay.
I do about 600 miles a night.
All right. Well, that's nice. And most of the time, it's probably just pretty much routine and boring. And then every now and then, it's frightening with an inch of your life.
Well, that's why I listen to the radio. I got out of the music, and I like to talk radio at night.
Well,
I found you about 6 months ago, and I enjoy listening to you.
Oh, well, I enjoy riding along, so thank you. All right, we're going to do MASH. In the second-to-last episode of the series, As Time Goes By, Margaret decides to bury a time capsule at the campsite so that future generations could return and remember. What is Father Mulcahy's contribution to the time capsule?
Boxing gloves.
Yeah, absolutely right. You're 100% right. So that future generations could clear up their disagreement in the ring rather than the battlefield. Hawkeye submitted a broken fan belt. And
helicopter.
Radar, I guess, was a teddy bear. All right. As far as we know, no Bible was added. All right. But I'm sure there was a lot of praying to God. All right. You are a winner. Hang on. Don't go away.
Thanks, Raleigh. Have a good night.
You too. All right. So, boxing gloves. You betcha. We'll get to Chuck in Downers Grove. He's got a request. Clayton in Indianapolis. Electronics trivia. Well, that's far and wide, don't you think? All right. So let's pick it up right there. Hopefully with you, 888-876-5593. You can have your own category. You can answer a bumper stumper. We've gotten one so far, and we're about to give you another one, a fun record from Nashville, and 1977 on RCA. And we have a question, of course, and that is, here it is. George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what? 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
When you're ugly like me, you just nicely got to be cool. You got to walk just right. Your package wrapped tight and don't break no rule. Give it away, you know you'll never sell it. Have the right thing to say and smile when you tell it. When you're ugly like me, you just nicely got to be cool. When you look this bad, you got to give a lady all you can. She'd be a fool to want a pretty man. Talk it up big so she can almost taste it. This could be your only chance, so you better not waste it. When you're ugly like me, you just nicely got to be cool.
Well, that's the original. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It's Monday Night Trivia. Who is that? All right, later Billy Sherrill did it on a couple of guys in 1980. I think Paycheck was one of them. But this is the original. And who is he? And the name on the label is all I want. He wrote it. And in his other life, he was like the star performer at the Exit Inn as being probably there more times than anyone, usually as an opening act, but very clever guy, and that was one of the things he came up with. So it was released, and it did absolutely nothing, as you can imagine, but who is he? at least on the label. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. So there's your bumper stumper. You've got your question about George Washington. What did he order a staff to do every morning? And then, of course, you can have your own category. And Sky is absolutely the limit on that. And Clayton's going to prove it in Annapolis. He wants electronics trivia. So, okay, Clayton.
Yes.
So we're going to talk for a moment about the old ham radio test, because one of the first questions on it is, what is the formula for Ohm's Law? What is it?
The formula for Ohm's Law is I equals V over R. Some people say it as I equals E over R. It just depends on how it's written.
Well, actually, I'm going to give it to you, but on the test it was E equals I times R. But yes, you've got the same thing, of course. And E stood for voltage, electrical pressure. I was the current and R was the resistance. So yes. All right, good enough. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. So, yes, E equals IR, and that is the deal. And, yeah, all right. So put Clayton on hold. Talk to Marion in Kansas. Welcome to WGN Radio. How are you, Marion?
Good.
All right. What are we working on here?
I'm the trivia question.
Okay. George Washington, what did he order his staff to do every morning?
Empty the chamber pot?
Oh, God, no, that's not it, although he probably did that, too.
That's the only thing that came to my mind when I heard
Oh, God, yeah, boy, I tell you, I'd quit. But, yes, that's not it, but thank you. And if you think of something else, call me back.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. All right, so, yeah, I'm sure there's all sorts of nasty jobs. I'm debating whether this one was dangerous, and I don't want to say anything because that'll lead you down the wrong path, probably. Chuck in Downers Grove, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, Raleigh, I got a song request.
Okay.
Can you, I don't know if you remember, you probably remember this, you know everything. This was Jackie Ross, and the song was called Selfish One.
Yeah, absolutely. What a wonderful song.
And, that's a great tune.
Yes.
I think it came out in 64 around there. It was on Chess Records
here
in Chicago.
Yes, it was on Chess. And sadly, there was a disagreement behind the scenes, and she wound up not being able to use the same writers. And Selfish One is sort of a medley of her hit. But she did have some other interesting songs.
Yeah.
But sure, I'll be happy to play it.
She's still alive.
Really? Okay, you just told me something. I'm glad to hear it. Where is she?
Yeah. I don't know. I know she was born in St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Both her parents were like preachers.
Yeah.
And her father died when she was very young.
Yeah. Now, I had heard she was singing gospel for a while. She was doing
that.
And then I think she was a nutritionist or something. She went and got a degree, and she was doing more stuff. But I did not know she was still with us. That's terrific. All right.
Her middle name is Bless.
Okay.
And both her parents were preachers.
Yeah,
how about that?
That fits. Well, I'm curious. She's not all that old, because I think she was born in the mid-40s, so she'd probably be like 80 this year or something. So she's not all that old,
yeah.
But I had not heard her name mentioned in quite a while. I wonder if she's still in the Chicago area. And if she is, I'll bet she's doing local church venues. I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
But worth checking out.
I wanted to tell you that another one of our Clear Channel 50,000 watt transmitter sites is being sold off, and they're moving to an inferior quarter wave tower site up the road from there.
Who is this?
This is AM 670, and they also own 780. And this used to be I don't know, I ain't giving call letters over WG on here. But anyway, it was 670 and 70.
You absolutely can. That's, I think it's the score now.
It used to be WMEQ radio.
Right, of course. But I mean, I think in more recent times it's been the score.
It's the score, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
They're
moving over to some inferior signal.
Yeah,
they're going to go to a... They're going to be a quarter wave signal instead of their half wave signal that they got now.
This has been planned for a while, We've talked quite about it. And you know, it's the only problem though is don't blame Clear Channel or iHeart, because it's owned by Odyssey.
No.
It's an Odyssey station.
There's only two 50,000 watt stations left that are still on their original property, and WGN is one of them.
Yeah, I assume
the other one is the big 89 down there on the other. Right. They're way out south. Their tower.
Yeah, WLS aware. It's possible WGN will at some point move, but if they do, it will be because it is a better location, not an inferior location. So there's
back to having a 750-foot tower, or they go to a quarter wave tower?
I doubt they would, but you know, as far as that goes, but it remains to be seen. But yeah, that's Odyssey, and that actually hit the news probably about a year and a half ago now when they were going to move to the unused tower. So it's nothing new. Right now, I'm working on getting people to sign the WBT petition so that we can at least make that transmitter building a historical. You know, the whole site for WBT. So if you haven't yet.
That building goes back to KYW, was the original station on that site.
Well, no, we're talking about something else. The problem is the news is happening, and John is about to hit me with a bullwhip. Thanks for
talk
calling.
To you later.
Appreciate
it.
All right, and we'll pick it up after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who's that? All right, 888-876-5593. I know you know the song. Maybe not that version. We'll see. Now, we've got a question out there. George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what? So you got a bumper stumper, and you've got a question, and you've got the right to pick your own category. Sky is the limit on that. Everybody knows something about something. And let's see. We're going to get some guesses from Kimberly and Andy, and we've got a New York radio question for him because that's what he always wants. And Jerry in Montana is going to guess on our bumper. And Chuck in Downers Grove, though, he's been hanging on for a while, has a request, I think. So Chuck, are you there? I think I might have already talked to Chuck. Maybe I got his request. All right, well, we're going to assume I did. And if I did, I wrote it down. Let's see. Let me check this. Yes, right. I lost control of the show long ago. We'd expect that. I don't know. Well, he can call back. Chuck, call back. Let me know what the song was. Jerry in Montana, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello there. I have a guess on the, how are you doing?
All right. How about yourself, Jerry? What's up tonight?
Good, good. I had a guess on the bumper stumper.
Oh, by the way, I want to say Chuck and Downers Grove, Selfish One, Jackie Ross. Yes, I got it. All right. Now, yes, guess on the bumper stumpers. What do you got?
One you played last hour, I think it was, I believe it to be Leon Redbone.
I played no Leon Redbone. Oh, you thought he did When You're Ugly Like Me, You Just Naturally Got to Be Cool? Not a chance.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It was about 5 to 10, yeah. 10 before the
yeah,
hour.
Yeah, not a chance. Not a chance.
So what's okay? It sounded similar to Leon Redbone.
I'm sure if he were still with us, he would be impressed by your guess.
Well, he sounded like an enthusiastic Leon Redbone.
All right.
So, and then what's the George Washington question?
Oh, yes, here we go. George Washington ordered his help.
I just want to win something, you know?
Well, the prizes are worthless, so trust
me.
Oh,
I know that.
Yeah. George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what?
Maybe he had wooden teeth. Maybe check his teeth for termites.
Firstly, he didn't have wooden teeth. This is a myth that's gone on forever. It's true that he had false teeth, but they were actually the teeth of animals and humans, I'm sorry to say. They were not wooden. But anyway, no. Nice guess, but not right.
Okay, do you do charts tonight? Or
oh, of course I can do charts. What week and month and year do you want?
65, maybe 66 this month is fine, you know.
All right, this month in 1966, let me get out the 60s then. All right, that would be the 80s. All right, let's see. This should be the 60s. I get my exercise from you guys. All right, so let's see here. 66 this month, and where were you? Do you remember?
Yeah, where was I?
Yeah.
66. I would have been in Great Falls at KUDI Radio.
All right.
We called it Cutie Montana.
Yeah, Cutie, right.
First Lady
of
Music.
Yeah. All right, then you probably played most of these. Number one, Paperback Writer.
Beatles.
Number two, Red Rubber Ball.
Circle.
Number three, Strangers in the Night.
Sinatra.
Four, Hanky Panky.
Tommy James.
Five, You Don't Have to Say You Love Me.
Dusty Springfield.
Six, Wild Thing.
Trogs.
Seven, Cool Jerk.
Capital.
Yes. Eight, Little Girl.
Little Girl. Period.
Yeah, that's the title, but you know the song. Hey, little girl, you don't have to hide nothing no more. You ain't do nothing that hadn't been done before.
No, not the D. Clark one, right?
No, no, no. I love that song. No, no, no. It was just called Little Girl. It was 67, and like I say, the opening line was, hey, little girl, you don't have to do nothing no more. You ain't do nothing that hadn't been done before. I'll play it for you. You played this record probably.
I never heard of it.
No, it's definitely a one-hit wonder, and that's really for the best, because I wouldn't want this group to have done anything else. But I didn't want them to do this. Let's see. Here we go, Little Girl. I pulled it out. And this in the summer of 66. Oh, man, this was a big record. I don't know how you missed it.
Oh, yeah. Was that the, Syndicate of Sound?
Exactly right. All right. So I gave you the lyric, but you had to hear him say it, huh? All right. That's absolutely right. Syndicate of Sound. It was, unfortunately. Number nine, Paint It Black. Come on, you can do Paint It Black. Oh, wait. I said
Rolling Stones.
Absolutely right. Rolling Stones it is. And number 10, Along Comes Mary.
Association.
Absolutely. Well, you aced them all. Let's see how far you get for extra credit. Number 11, Dirty Water.
Standells.
Who, by the way, had never been to Boston when they recorded that. Number 12, Little Red Riding Hood.
Sam the Sham. I'll tell you a story about the Standells.
Oh, yeah?
With Standells when we get done with these. So.
Okay. 13, Don't Bring Me Down.
Eric Burden, Animals.
Yeah, 14, Ain't Too Proud of Big.
Temptations.
15, Hungry.
Paul Revere.
16, Oh, How Happy.
Shades of Blue.
Yep. 17, I Am a Rock.
Simon and Garfunkel.
18, He.
Excuse me?
He. H-E.
I never heard of that.
Well, you know what? I probably would have missed it if I just read it, too. But I think that you know this record. Unfortunately, it wasn't one of their biggest hits, and that's certainly, let's see. Let me see if I can find it here. It's a terrible song, I think, but then again. Yes, there it goes. Here we are. You do know it. No, oh God, I've got it, but not by them. Anyways, by the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that. He by the Righteous Brothers.
Yeah, He by the Righteous Brothers. Well, if you really don't remember, I can probably find it here if I look hard enough. But I don't know that it would be rewarding to hear it. But just in case, you know, I think all that stuff was that Phil Spector production. So you either like it or you don't. And I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I liked Phil Spector. I liked his Wall of Sound, you know.
You know, I didn't, but I liked his earlier stuff. I loved the stuff he did with Curtis Lee, like Pretty Little Angel Eyes and Under the Moon of Love. I thought those were great records.
I liked the Ronettes and the Wall of Sound, you know.
It went too far for me. But anyway, but yeah, he was...
Well, you know, old jocks, I think old jocks always like reverb, you know.
Well, man, I'll tell you what radio station didn't have it, but some of them were literal disasters. But okay, He by the Righteous Brothers, here it is, I found it.
I never heard it.
Yeah, and that was a pop standard from a zillion years ago. It was on Verve, so it might not have been. I probably shouldn't accuse Phil Spector of that, actually. But Bill Medley, I think, produced it, and that tells you all you need to know. All right, you did very good. You got to number 18. Excellent.
Yeah, well,
all right,
so
now, what's your Standell story?
Yeah, about two stories. One about the Standells. We were, you know, Great Falls, Montana, and, you know, isolated. So promoters would bring bogus groups in. So they brought in a group that was the Sandells, but they set really good spots. In fact, they had the spots cut at Kim in Denver.
Denver, okay.
And they were really good spots, and the guy stuttered when he said the name. He said, "Coming to Great Falls, this is Sandells."
Okay. That's funny.
And then as far as the reverb, when I was in Pennsylvania, I worked for a guy. He was probably considered bipolar now, but manic depressive then. But he was nuts, you know. He was half Italian and half Russian. And he's just a tyrant. And I shouldn't say that. You know, he was... But anyway, when the ratings would come, those were back in the ARB days, when the ratings would come, if the ratings would go down, he would come in and we had a Fairchild reverb. He'd just turn up the reverb.
Oh, well, okay.
You know, this'll fix it. This'll get the numbers up.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, good deal. So you are a winner.
Yeah, good talk. Good talking to you.
Always. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. And we'll confirm that address because Jerry's absolutely right. He got ace the top 10, got number 18. So there you have it. Yeah, reverb, far too much of it. And classic stories when WNOE went surround sound in New Orleans. They didn't realize there were some pots they really shouldn't have it on, like the one that the Baptists of New Orleans had for their Sunday morning church. Yep, they were speaking to God directly. It sounded like it anyway. So things sometimes go wrong. All right, we'll get to Patrick in Richmond. He's a first-time caller. Patrick, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello there.
Yeah. All right, what's up? I shouldn't say welcome back. It's a first-time caller, so welcome. What do you think?
I want to answer that George Washington question.
Okay. Ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what?
Yes. Okay, they had to straighten his hair out.
I'm going to put a bow ribbon in there and then lay off his clothes.
Yep, that's not it, but I love it. I like the way you're thinking. I hope you'll call me again. Thanks.
All righty.
Appreciate it. Yeah, so let's see what we have here. Let's see. Oh, Kimberly and Dalton's got some guesses. All right, Kimberly, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
All right, how are you doing, and how's Jean doing?
We're hanging in there. She's going to try to call you a little later about the song, but it's been a little rough around here with the rains and a lot of things going wrong, or ceiling, or roof, a lot of things like that. So
yeah.
Anyway, it's just been going on like that, but we're getting through it. I had two guesses about George Washington.
Okay.
Okay. My mom thought maybe it was, well, part of that teeth business, like cleaning his teeth for him every day.
Oh, I like that too, but no.
And he was a famous early to bed, early to rise person. And he was notorious for waking his staff up like at 4 a.m. to do the administrative work.
Oh, good God.
So, he would get them up at 4 and they would do their administrative work for the day, staff and aides and all that. So that's my two guesses.
Nice guesses. Neither of them are right.
Okay.
But thanks for trying. Always good to hear from you. Appreciate it.
Oh, all right. Bye-bye.
All right, so good deal. We'll get to Andy from Los Angeles. Joe from Aurora is going to give us some guesses. Brian in Miami. Brian with a Y in Miami. And he wants, let's see, Vice Presidents of the United States. Oh, man. There's a category. We'll get something coming up on WGN Radio.
This could only happen to me. Just when I thought we could be together. Just when I thought all my dreams had all come true. Someone please explain this to me. If only I'd been able to see, I wouldn't be here alone, away from you. Now I'm trapped in a stairway, locked out of your love. I am trapped in a stairway, can't get out, wanna shut, but nobody can hear me. Gee, what I would give for a key to save me from this situation, free me from this sad frustration.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So who is that? That's a gift. All right. So about 1977 or 78 on Casablanca. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, let me release Kimberly's line to make one line available for you should you want it. All right. 888-876-5593. Andy in Los Angeles. What's up tonight, Andy?
Hi. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
I'll let you know after you ask you a question.
Okay.
But I have, can I take a guess at the Washington thing?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I saw a Netflix feature on Washington, and I thought they said, although you had to call it close to it, that they powdered his hair.
Oh, I like that, too. That's not it, but I like that, too.
Okay. And the other one was just shining his shoes.
Nope.
His boots or whatever. Okay.
So we're going to talk New York radio in the 60s, your favorite topic.
Yes.
1969, Jerry Boulding, the program director of WWRL, brought in a new night man, a kid from, still a teenager, from Waffo and Buffalo. Who was he?
Oh, yes, it was, I know who it was. The Sex Machine, I think he called it.
Oh, God!
What the hell was that? Sorry.
I think you can do it.
It wasn't, yeah, I can do it if I just get my mind. It was either... Oh, he's the guy who had that sexy thing. We had the theme song, and they was.
Well, it was an overnight show, and I'll give you the initials of the show. GBE.
That's the initial of the show, or is the name?
Well, both.
Oh, GBE. I might not know this. I thought it was. I know who it was. Frankie Crocker.
No. Frankie Crocker wishes he was a teenager in 1969.
Yeah, right. Oh, damn. I can't. All right, I give up.
The Gary Bird Experience.
Okay. I didn't know him, actually. But
yeah.
I heard the name, but I didn't really know what he did.
Absolutely. And, Super Soul 16. And he did the overnight show, and is great. I mean, it was everything from great soul music to job listings. You know, it was...
And did he stay there for a while?
He stayed there for a while, but then he wound up... definitely, as far as that goes, New York Radio, denizen of New York Radio, went to work for Hal Jackson and all that, and he's still around. I think he has a talk show host on BLS. I think it's called Express Yourself. And he's got some weird thing on BAI. Well, of course it's BAI. Of course it's a weird thing. But anyway, that. But you know, everybody. James Brown dedicated a song to him, and Stevie Wonder, and all this stuff. So yeah, Gary Bird.
I heard the name, but I don't think I listened to him. But I did hear the name.
All right.
There was someone who came from Northern New York that moved to. I think it was WWRL.
Here, hang on.
Maybe it was.
Don't go away. Stay where you are. We'll pick it up right after the news, right here on WGN Radio.
Should have been there when they told me how you lied. I didn't even care. I laughed so hard. I cried. I didn't feel bad when you pushed me on the side. I really wasn't sad. I laughed so hard. I cried.
You said
I don't care for her. And I'm through with her.
You should.
Well, I said I'm through with her.
WGN Radio. So who are they? Yeah. Philly, 1964. Fairly recently, comparatively, on Parkway. All right, so those all the clues I got. Now we're talking to Andy in Los Angeles, and I think you're probably thinking of Jerry Boulding.
No, I was thinking of actually Frankie Crocker.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's older. And he
came from Buffalo.
Yeah, well, so was Jerry Boulding. They all were at UFO.
All right, did he bring... I thought maybe after I'm thinking about it, and maybe Crocker brought him in. Who was there first?
Crocker was there before Jerry Boulding and Gary Bird.
Yeah.
But
I think I remember a story about him bringing Bird in, but that's where I heard the name.
No, the PD at the time just all of a sudden it left my mind. I said it a minute ago. Why can't I think of it all of a sudden? But the PD at the time hired him, and he was just about to turn 20. That he was still a teenager, but he was just about to turn 20, and. Why can't I? Well, whatever. All right.
Boulding, did you say?
What? Jerry Boulding.
Okay.
Yeah, Jerry Boulding. Yeah. He was the PD for sure. But yeah, Frankie was probably there first, and then Jerry, and then Gary.
So I remember there was some conflict with the guys who came after him with him, but I don't remember. He was jealous of some of that following. I'm not sure, but I just remember that when I was thinking about your question.
Oh, you mean Frankie?
Yeah, I think he was upset by one of them, but maybe not.
And then, of course, he wound up going to WMCA before Gary was hired even, so that's it.
Oh, really?
But,
okay, then it's
See, Gary was, like I say, he was a little older. He was born in 37, so he would have graduated high school in 55, and just a few years older than the rest of these guys. Not by much, but back then it mattered. Right. And he was at WFO, and before Jerry Bledsoe ever was, or Gary Bird, and he worked for, came to WWRL, and then in 69, when Terrell Matheny was running WMCA, hired him. So, and then, of course, he went to BLS and all that. And he was an interesting, because he did all those Lost Night albums for Jerry Greene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with his truly the eighth wonder of the world, after me, there will be no more. You know, want to get close to your mama, closer than whites on rice, cold, closer than colds on ice, closer than a collar's on a dog and a ham is on a country hog. If you don't dig it, you don't eat chicken on Sunday. But
He's gliding his stride.
A glut in your strut. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. So he was known for that. And so no wonder he was the one who brought, remember, Manu Dibango, Sol Makosa? He actually brought that to America. It sounded like a reggae version of him. So, and he was one of the five original vidiots on VH1. I know they called them VJs, but I call them vidiots in any event. Then for a moment there, he hosted Solid Gold. And that was, and then, of course, he did a lot of the shows at the Apollo and all that. But he was in movies, too. Nothing I saw, but in movies. Yeah. But he was the only guy who actually got nailed for payola over a decade and a half after the payola hearings.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a 1976 investigation. And it's funny because a friend of mine who worked for the company who they unceremoniously fired for just, it was absolutely not valid reasons. So I was asked to testify at his trial, but he was suing them. And they insinuated that he was engaged in payola. I said, well, I don't know about that, but Inner City was the only company on record that actually hired somebody who was convicted. So that was it. They gave him the money. But,
But wasn't there a time when it wasn't illegal?
Oh, absolutely. Here's the deal. With the FCC regulations, it wasn't until 1961 that it was illegal for a disc jockey. Now, it was always illegal for a licensee. Now, by the way, it's not about taking money for music. You can do that, but you have to identify it. And so that's the catch there.
So it was really a tax thing.
Well, it wasn't a tax thing as much as...
It wasn't declared.
That's true, too, and that's actually what they got Alan Freed for Mel Leeds. Yeah. But they both got them on tax evasion. But, the deal was if you were a licensee, you could be fined for this, and you could lose your license. And that's why ABC protected Dick Clark, because ABC partially owned that Dick Clark Beechnut show, and they were engaging in plugola, claiming that trips were provided by the airlines and doing all these announcements, which were actually commercials and not logging them as commercials. But then when it all got reformed in 61, they added the 500s like Section 508 and 507 to the FCC codes, making it illegal for a disc jockey. And, at the time we left, we said,
What about a program director?
Well, of course, any employee thereof.
Yeah.
But we used to laugh because that's when they stopped disc jockeys from picking their own music and put it under a program director. And, we said, now you only have to pay one guy instead of seven. But but the reality was, again, that even then, if you identified it as sponsored, you absolutely could play it. So if you said this record is brought to you by Columbia, that's not illegal. But if you play it because you got paid for it and you didn't say it, then that's a payola violation. But
I'm from Columbia, I gave the money, and then I could take the money.
Absolutely. Okay, if you that's the FCC, right? But if you take the money, yes, you'd better report it to your taxes. Now, what the government did at the time, in addition to tax evasion, was something called commercial bribery, which could be any business, and they tried to get them on that. But ultimately, all they got them on was tax evasion, and it was just Mel Leeds was one, and
did any of them ever go to prison?
No,
or was it just fine?
No. No prison at all, but and the fines were really just slap on the wrist fine. But what happened in that is that a lot of disc jockeys, even those who weren't formally charged, became persona non grata. And that's like Tom Donahue, who had been at Wibbage at the time of all this nonsense. He later couldn't find a job, and that's when he got hired ultimately at KYA in San Francisco. And then he walked out on them and, of course, started Underground Radio. But he was persona non grata. Peter mm-hmm. Tripp, curly haired kid in the third row. All those guys.
Yeah, he disappeared one day.
Right, exactly. Well, a lot of them, you know, suddenly disappeared. But it was a witch hunt all the way around, and so that was the deal there.
And would you say that part of the motivation was just a campaign against rock?
Well, yeah, there were two things. Now, remember, the government had just finished investigating quiz shows. And ABC felt so good about that because, of course, they didn't have any quiz shows. Yeah, well, little did they know they owned that Beech Nut show. But what happened was two things happened. For a couple of years, Mitch Miller had been calling everybody in Congress he knew. I mean, believe me, everybody, saying that, well, any adult who would play a rock and roll record, this is proof they took money for it because no one would do it on their own. He believed this. Serious as a heart attack. All right. Yeah. Well, that didn't move the needle much. And then after the Todd Storrs 1959 disc jockey convention, everybody thinks that it was that Miami Herald article that said booze, broads, and bribes that cracked it open.
Right.
Oh, no. That was a small sideshow. It was all because of Governor Frank Clement. And what this is the guy, really, and he's almost... Governor Frank Clement of Nashville, Tennessee. Give him hell, Clement. He was a God-fearing guy, and he had a wonderful wife, Lucille. Right. She was a fashion plate. In fact, Lucille actually did an impromptu fashion show at the 1956 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Why is this important? Well, it is because in the 1959 disc jockey convention, Marse Levy of Roulette was pretty much responsible for the entertainment. He brought in every hooker on the East Coast. And the way the guys recognized the hookers was they all had to wear a green evening gown. It was pretty much the same shade of green. And then, you know, that knew it was fair game. Well, so here's fashion plate Lucille. And by the way, Frank Clement and you bet it. Well, Frank Clement and Lucille came down along with Pat Boone, right? And because...
Oh, he's the right person.
Right. Todd was trying to, you know, up-level the image of the disc jockey, so he'd always have, like, these politicians or whatever. And so Frank was going to give a little speech. But meanwhile, Lucille didn't get the message. And so she walked across the lobby at the Americana Hotel in Bal Harbour, Florida, in a green dress.
Yeah.
Well, hell. So Frank Clement got on the phone, and that's when the needle moved. And, you know, it's so funny because I remember this absolutely. I was there. But very few people know about that angle of it. They know about Mitch Miller. They know about the Miami Herald article. But they forget about Give 'Em Hell Clement trying to protect Lucille's reputation.
And what year did you say that was?
59, Memorial Day, 1959.
Okay.
And it was Bacchanal. It was just a wonderful thing. ABC Paramount, it was free rides anywhere in the cabs, and the Lanais were taken over by RCA, and their play money bought real things like color TVs, which back then were expensive and things like that. And you know, they had a recording session with Peggy Lee.
And there was firing at some stations.
What?
There was firing at some stations. After that happened?
Well...
Like firing as a result of that?
Not because of the disc jockey convention, but because of the payola hearings, you had a lot of people who were...
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, remember, in the 50s, people who were doing top 40 radio were usually your non-network people, your independent broadcasters. You know, they had nothing to lose. The networks were still holding on to their, you know, programming. Well, all right. So, but a lot of them didn't like the fact that they were doing well with rock and roll, top 40. The reason they didn't like it is because they couldn't sell it. The department stores wouldn't buy it, you know, and all that. So in 1958, when Mitch Miller went to the first annual disc jockey convention in Kansas City at the Muehlbach Hotel, he stood up and said rock and roll is dead. Well, hell, Kay Smith, Danny Kaye's company, Les Smith goes back to Seattle and changes the format at KJR.
Really?
Yeah, that's what allowed KOL to get in there and win. And then, of course, KJR came back. But he, and people, well, why would he change the form? Well, he was so thrilled that rock and roll would be dead because he couldn't sell it to the department stores. And there was that. But it was not, you know, it wasn't until 1960 that ABC decided they were going to embrace Top 40. And, of course, they couldn't do it on the West Coast. You know, they were known for starting talk radio, but it was necessity because they not only had the ABC radio commence, they had ABC West, that little network out of INM, the Internet Mountain Network in Denver and all that. Anyway, they wound up, they could only play like two records an hour. So they padded it with talk, and that's how, you know, talk began. It was a necessity.
Now, ABC, just one quick bit of trivia. I think I read this, that when Dan Ingram came to WABC, Dan Ingram, when he came to WABC in 61 or 62.
Yeah, he was working for Pam's.
Do you know what he was the most afraid of?
What?
What competition he was most afraid of?
Who?
Jack Lacey.
I believe that. Lacey was
Jack
great.
Jack Lacey had a show in the morning and the afternoon.
Yeah, Lacey listens, and, absolutely.
He said...
He was great.
Yeah, yeah.
He was great. Well, yeah. You know, it's interesting because at that point, and he'd been a disc jockey, of course, at WIL and a lot of other stations, but at that mm-hmm. point, he was working for PAMS, which was a promotion service. They had something called Fun Tests and all that. And so he would sell his wares to WABC. And he kind of insulted them and pitched on being a disc jockey. It's a long story. But anyway, they hired him.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't going to. He pretty much was the one to, you know, tell them. What they had done was they hired I can't think of his name right now, but they hired an old guy out of Miami who had been a kiddie show host. And he was basically talking to teens like they were seven-year-olds. And
Fred Hall?
Yeah, it was. Absolutely, yes. Thank you for that. Yes, yes, yes. I remember him well.
He had a bingo show on Channel 5.
Yeah, right later. Yes, absolutely. That's true. But yeah, he'd been a kiddie show. He'd been on like WLBW or something.
Right.
Ingram made kind of fun of it. And I think it was Hal Neal who actually said, "What, you think you can do better?" And he, well, yeah, I do. And so... That was.
I understand he dropped off tapes in the morning.
Yeah. Well, he spent all night. That's right. He spent all night creating that air check. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had to bribe the cleaning crew to get it on his desk.
Uh-huh.
So, but that was true.
And the other one in California, I understand when Robert W. Morgan was driving to start his gig there in Southern California, it's according to the story I read, he had to turn off the road to throw up. Because he was thinking of going against Whittington,
Of Dick Whittington,
Dick Whittington. He was nervous about that, but it's interesting.
Yeah, no, but Robert was driven. You know, Robert had such a bad self-image. Yeah. He would do anything to feel better about himself. He'd wake up every morning at 2:30 and prep for a show that didn't start till 6, you know. So, and he was good.
Yeah.
He was absolutely good. Tortured, but good.
Very good.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, Whittington, that's interesting because I think I would have been more afraid, not ratings-wise, but just talent-wise Whittington, yes, but Whitting Hill was the guy that Morgan was afraid of. Whitting Hill on KMPC.
Oh, I got the wrong one?
Yeah. It was Whitting Hill on KMPC. He was, you know.
Whittington was that guy in the Valley. Yeah.
Yes, KGIL. But I'm telling you.
Kind of strange, too.
He was good. Whittington was good. But you had a lot of interesting talent back then. And then when KNX brought, you know, had Bob Crane doing mornings, I loved him. And, you know, which was good. Now, after Bob Crane left, they brought in Reg Kordick from Pittsburgh. And Reg was excellent in Pittsburgh, one of the best ever, and he bombed in L.A.
He was at KRLA, I think.
Yeah, well, that's later. Yeah. That's much later, but he came to L.A. as the morning man of KNX when they were MOR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that KRLA thing was like 1981. I still have the tapes.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it turned out good for him because he wound up having a beautiful voiceover career. But yeah, when Bob Crane left to do Hogan's Heroes, they brought in Reg, and that would have been like 64, 65.
He
just bombed, and it was terrible because he was so good in Pittsburgh, and I mean just great, but it didn't go over in LA, which is a shame.
Someday we'll have to talk about someday we'll have to talk about Mad Daddy and Pete Myers.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah,
you betcha. All right, well, great to talk to you. Talk to you next week. Thanks, appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, so let's see. Fun going down memory lane. All right, so let's see what we have here. Cindy's going to have some trivia guesses. I'll have to remember the question again. We'll go with Scott and Valpo, heart-to-heart trivia. That wasn't on for too long, but all right, we can do it. Oh, Brian with a Y in Miami. Vice Presidents of the United States have I got a question for Brian. Coming up now, our question here, and it'll be held over next week if you don't get it. George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what? 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Looking up, I said, uh-huh, maybe I could see you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so who is that? Yes, an alternate version of Heaven on the Seventh Floor. My favorite, actually. Jamaican guy who at 10 years old moved to Toronto with his family and was a big deal on Yonge Street and all the venues in Toronto. But man, in 77, there you had him as a solo act. He'd been in a number of groups as well. And I just thought it was terrific. All right, so who is he? 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. So, couple minutes before the news, and then we have another hour of this, don't you know? And George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what? But Brian with a Y wants vice presidential trivia. So, Brian with a Y, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, you know, I lost in Final Jeopardy the first season with Trebek back in 1985, and even though I avenged that with Dick Clark as a five-appearance champion on the Challengers in 1991, nobody cares. All anybody cares about is that I lost on Jeopardy.
Oh, no.
But if I can be a winner on the best show on radio now that Rush is no longer with us, well, that'll make up for it. So hit me with your five best vice presidential
questions. Okay, so here's the vice presidential question. This guy was probably the weirdest vice president ever. In fact, before he was at his political peak, he aggressively was petitioning Congress to fund a government expedition to drill a hole into the northern pole to prove the Earth was hollow and habitable on the inside. He wanted the United States to make contact with underground civilizations that he believed lived there. And this guy winds up as vice president. Who is he?
You talking about Dawes?
No. Yeah, no. Who wrote It's All in the Game? No, I'm not.
That's right. I read this somewhere once, and I can't recall it. So, but you got to give me a second chance here. The answer is I don't know.
All right. Well, then I'll tell you who he is, and you can tell me who he served under. Richard Mentor Johnson.
Oh, well, obviously the Dutchman, the okay guy. Martin Van Buren,
yeah,
obviously.
Absolutely right. All right.
And he's also the guy that is said to have killed Tecumseh up at the Battle of Toronto. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, but not quite as weird as believing there were people in the hollow earth. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. You're a winner. Stay right where you are, and the news is coming up right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so who is she? Yes. Motown, early 60s, pretty much, 62, 63. Yeah, and no hits whatsoever. But now that CDs and all are out, they've released a number of things on her that weren't released originally. But this was a 45. And I thought it was great. So 888-876-5593. And... George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. Do what? All right. And also, program note, I wanted to mention, I said I was at the Todd Storrs 1989 Disc Jockey Convention. Before you think I'm 90 years old, I should always add, because I was a kid living at the Americana Hotel at the time. They couldn't keep me out of it. And went to all the conventions. Yeah, the AFL-CIO, AMA, you name it. But man, I'll tell you, Memorial Day weekend, 1959, disc jockeys, I knew right then and there what I wanted to do for a living. These people were having entirely too much fun. So 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And what are we doing? Scott and Valpo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Good. You want a heart-to-heart question, do you?
Yeah, I grew to hate that show. But my ex-girlfriend loved it, so I bought her all, like, 5 TV seasons and all 8 TV movies.
Yeah.
And so I know it, but I now can't stand it.
Well, we're going to talk about the pilot episode, and what I want to know in the pilot episode, where did most of the action take place?
In terms of a city or in the house?
A locale. It was a business, if you will. A friend of theirs died while coming home from this.
Oh, I remember that episode, yep. But I don't remember the location. I do remember they had Frank Zane on with the gym episode, but I don't think that was where.
Yes, absolutely. The Golden Goose Spa.
Was that the episode?
Yes, that was the pilot episode, the Golden Goose Spa.
I thought that was further in.
No.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
I guess it was that episode then.
Well, we'll give it to you. All right, good deal. Thanks. Hang on. Don't go away. All right, so I can be generous because the prices are worthless. It takes forever to get anything anyway, and you're doing it for the fun of it. So let's see. But yes, at the Golden Goose Spa. Oh, I'm sure a good time was had by all. Cindy in Chicago wants to take some guesses. All right, Cindy, what you got for me?
Okay. Put the moonshine on the wagon for sale in the town.
What are you talking about?
Well, didn't George Washington make moonshine?
Okay, it had nothing to do with moonshine.
Okay, well, that was it. Like, put the moonshine, you know.
Okay, yep, nope.
Okay, well, I have two more requests.
Okay, requests, do you? All right, let me get out this this list. And next to Hello, Darling, Dolly, and Beechwood 45789, Cindy wants to hear what?
This song reminds me of Chuck quite a bit. It's a Carly Simon song, Some of the Secrets of Yours.
I don't know. We're probably not going to play Carly Simon. What else do you want to hear?
I'm going straight to hell, just like my mama said.
Well, who did that?
I don't know that I've never heard the whole song, but I think it's hilarious.
Well, it's a catchy title. I'll look for it.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. So let's see. What are we doing? Oh, Joe called back from Aurora. All right, Joe, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I think George Washington might have had his folks pray.
That's nice, but it's not right.
Oh, I'm not as surprised. How you doing tonight?
I can't complain. How about your bad self?
Oh, my bad self is always bad.
All right. I'll take it. Good deal.
Thank you.
Call me back if you think of anything else. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Actually, no, it was a perfectly horrible day, and I made a fool of myself in public. Physically. But I'm here now. All right, so let's see. We've got Stan in Dearborn, who knows all the bumpers. All right, Stan, how are you?
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Pretty good. Of course, the last one being a Motown song. I know that, and yeah. I know a couple others.
Okay.
In front of that,
let's have them.
Also, I like to take a guess at the George Washington.
Oh, good. What do you think?
I think he made him stand for reveille in the morning.
Oh, I like that. It's not right either.
Okay, well, that's all I had. Well, anyway, getting back to the The Chaperone.
Yes.
The bumpers.
Yes.
Chaperone by LaBrenda Benn and the Bell Jeans.
Yes, and later she was in the Adantes too, but I thought that was a great record and showed me the two sides of Motown, because that was more the stuff that wasn't mass appeal, that they were never going to play to a mass appeal market, but I thought it was a great song, a little call and reaction, and almost gospel-like.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And just like the first one, too, the Linda Griner wasn't too much airplay, wasn't real big across the nation, I don't think.
They didn't promote it. No, see, this was a real shame because Linda was, I think she was 17 at the time, and she sounded a lot like Mary Wells, and they produced it a lot like Mary Wells, and it was really pretty much to get Mary Wells to fall back in line. And so when Mary Wells started behaving like they wanted her to, they just canned the record.
Yeah.
It's sad. Sad. So who was she?
LaBrenda Benn.
The first one. Goodbye, Cruel Love.
The first one. Linda Griner?
Linda Griner. Yeah. Yes, Linda Griner.
Linda Griner.
Who was also Lynn Roman later on some records. And like I say, she's selling real estate in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I heard you say that before. That's interesting. Okay, then the second one we had was Church Bells.
Yes.
By the Philadelphians.
Yes, 1962 on campus. Absolutely right.
On campus, yeah.
Okay.
And the Latin one, Nunca.
Yeah.
Which is never.
Right.
By the Latin Counts.
Well, the Latin lads.
Latin lads.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
We have a Detroit group that's called the Latin Counts.
Right, yes. And, Julito and the Latin lads, yes.
Yeah. But, Latin lads. I got that on one of the Clifton Music CDs.
Oh, okay. All right. Perfect.
Or albums or something.
Yes,
I remember,
perfect.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah.
And another one I have was I Laugh So Hard.
Yeah, I know you know
Defenders.
This. Yes, the Defenders, absolutely. Yeah. 1964 on Parkway.
Yeah. And, when you were saying, talking about the payola.
Yeah.
I remember a quote that I think it was when they had a congressional hearing.
Yes.
And the quote for Alan Freed.
Yeah.
I think it was Alan Freed who said it. He said, "What you guys are calling payola is exactly what you call lobbyists."
Yeah, well, that was true. It also, from that standpoint, was more like a sales perk. The only thing really wrong with it wasn't what the government was investigating, but it did violate FCC regulations as far as the licensees went, because they weren't admitting to the public they were paid. It was as simple as that.
Yeah, and I read somewhere where he said if the station was getting paid, it wouldn't be a problem, but since he was getting paid,
it's the other way. Actually, it's the other way around.
They didn't want the little guy to make the money.
Well, what was real sad is that Alan Freed never understood why ABC roasted him and protected Dick Clark. And the reality, of course, is ABC wasn't protecting Dick Clark, they were protecting themselves. They were half owner of that show. And so if that went down, they could have lost their licenses, all of them. So, of course, they were going to craft an agreement for Dick Clark to sign and all that. So I don't think Freed ever fully understood that. And then, after that went down, he was so defeated. Mel Leeds hired him at K-Day in Los Angeles, but it didn't last long because Alan wanted to do his rock and roll concerts out there. And Mel, who also had lost his job in New York because of the payola hearings, Mel said, "You are not doing those shows. Forget about it." So he left and he went to WQAM for 2 months and then came back to Palm Springs, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah. We had some Detroit DJs, of course, that you know that that went off the air after that.
Oh, yeah.
Not that they were charged or anything, but they just quit.
Right, absolutely. Well, it was a witch hunt all the way around. And again, it wasn't. When you think about it in the scheme of things, for a guy who has a small record label, well, that's just business as usual. Pay someone to play the records. That's like sales promotion, from the standpoint of the label. And, of course, the reason they were falling all over themselves to get Dick Clark to do it was the concept of a simultaneous hit. If Clark played it on American Bandstand, well, everybody, all the teens across the country the next day are calling the record stores, I want it, rather than a rolling hit where it's a hit in Buffalo and then in Pittsburgh or, you know, Omaha or whatever.
Right.
So, of course, the record companies did not consider that they were being maligned. They considered this is the way to do business. Where the disc jockeys were in trouble, because it was not illegal for them to do it, was not reporting it.
Yeah, and like you said, it was their way of doing business.
Of course it is. But
if you had a grocery store and then somebody did a favor for you, you'd do a favor back.
Absolutely. Like, you know, they can investigate Kroger's to see who's got the top shelf position, you know, or how many spaces for Coca-Cola, whatever. Yeah, of course. So it was a real witch hunt. But
you know, the Budweiser signs in the bar.
Right.
You know, we'll give you 10% off your next order if you put these signs up.
Of course. And why not?
Of course the guy would do it, sure.
Why not? You know, I don't consider that a problem at all. So it was, like I say, it was a witch hunt. And
it was.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
because
you know,
they didn't want to they didn't want rock and roll. Like you said, they didn't want rock and roll on the air.
Right. The subtext was absolutely they didn't want rock and roll. And a lot of it was sadly steeped in racism. You know, the guy heading the committee was from Arkansas, for God's sakes. And, you know, so they didn't like rock and roll. But, boy, when Frank Clement gave it to them, that was when they said, yeah, we got to investigate these people. But it was tough. Back then, a rock and roll disc jockey couldn't even open a bank account or rent an apartment. You know, they were treated like they were child molesters. So, yeah, and it was definitely rock and roll.
I think shortly after that was the first revival of Oldies But Goodies around 60-61. And, Lost Night label came out and Oldies 45 labels and all these other different labels and re-releasing songs that were from the 50s.
Yeah, well, probably the first two, in fact, it was Art LeBeau who coined the phrase Oldies But Goodies. And arguably, he had the first, I say arguably because Moish Levy had some early stuff too. Because remember, Roulette Always later did that 22 Original Winner series and all that. And so they put out a lot of that. Roulette did. Mercury had a good series. Liberty had a really good series. So the labels were doing that for sure. But then, yes, the reissue labels, of course. Jerry Green, his partner, was Jerry Blabbitt in Philadelphia on that stuff, which became
collectibles. We got a lot of records from Nina and Jerry Green.
Yes, yes, who are still alive. They don't own it anymore. But Val has dinner with them, I'd say, a couple times a month. So Nina had been sick, but, you know, they're both hanging in there. So, yeah, Val and Patty go out to dinner with them still.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
They send me pictures. So,
all right. So
yeah, so they're doing all right. And yeah, I'm glad they're still with us because so few of them are. I worry about Val being in his mid-80s now because I know the minute he goes, Patty sells that the next day.
Wow.
You know, so it's sad, but that's the way of the world.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right.
I didn't want to wait too late for, you know, the next three, but I'll
well, you'll be listening, and I don't know that you'll know the next one you might or the last one you might, but the one in between it, you'll absolutely know. I'll tell you in advance it's on Cheer, so you'll know it.
Oh, okay.
All right.
The ones I didn't know are just too new for me.
Well, the ones you didn't know, obviously, were not.
In the 70s.
Right, exactly. That's right. They were all in the 70s. So, yes, I'm with you there. If I hadn't played them, I probably wouldn't either. All right. Well, always wonderful to talk to you. Thank you, Stan.
Okay, good talking to you.
Okay, bye.
Have a great show.
Thanks. Yeah, okay, so there's still some that are out there. I was going to give them away, but I have a feeling we may get some people who are going to guess on them, and that would be terrific. Oh, we're going to do charts, 1965 with Gary coming up. Ralph's got a request. Mark wants charts, 1970. That's going to be fun. Dave wants the Flintstones. We're the Flintstones, a modern Stone Age family. We'll get to Jeff in Homewood, who wants Seinfeld trivia. So we've got plenty of time left tonight on Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio.
Cowboy, hang up the gun. Pieces.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and who is that? All right, yes, fastest guitar in the West. But yeah, I like Nothing Is Different, Just Rearranged. All right, so that was on RSO around 1979. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Gary in Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, Gary?
Well, hey, Raleigh, I like some of these numbers you've been playing.
Oh, good.
Tonight.
Good. You recognize any of them?
I've heard one of them. I heard Heaven on the Seventh Floor.
Yeah.
I've heard you play it before.
Yeah. It's been a few years, though.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I have heard it.
Yeah.
And then Cindy had a request about I'm Going to Hell Like My Mama Said or something like that.
Do you know this song?
No, I don't, but all I remember is my mama said, we're in hell now, on earth.
Who did that?
That's what she said. I don't know. Is this what my mother used to say?
Oh, okay.
All
right.
In hell now.
All right. Yeah, well, it's probably true.
Earth is hell.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Makes sense to me.
Absolutely. You know? I'm there. I always consider it a giant correctional institute. So, yes, indeed.
I'm ready. Yeah. And maybe I'll, you know, finish my time sooner or later, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe sooner rather than later, I don't know. But I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
Absolutely. I just don't want to come back.
No, I want to rest. If I'm going to have to come back, I want one of those easy lives.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, I vote for that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm afraid I might have to come back. So
yeah,
I want it to be an easy life.
Well, here, you're certainly still with us now. Hang on, because right after the news, we will do This Week in 1965. All right, right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it is Monday Night Trivia, the final half hour, and we are about to engage in charts with Gary in Austin. We're going to do 1965, and during the news break, I managed to lose the charts. Oh, not again. I tell you what, just writing
them. Make them up.
Right, exactly, make them up. No, they're here. I know they're here somewhere. I was just writing a flame email to an agency wanting me to do something online. What, are you kidding me with this? But anyway, what do I do with them? I got the 80s, I got the 70s. Now, this is not possible. All right, so this is literally not possible. Oh, here we go. All right, I think I found this. Okay, so now, all right, so yeah, someone wrote saying, fill out this spreadsheet. I'm like, yeah, in your dreams. So, all right, so now, not for our rates, ain't no spreadsheet. All right, so now, all right, let's see here. Here we go with, all right, number one this week. In 1965, I can't get no satisfaction.
Stones.
I can't help myself.
Four Tops.
Mr. Tambourine Man.
Birds.
Wonderful World. Obviously a remake.
Herman's Hermit.
Yes. Number 5, Woolly Bully.
Sam the Sham.
Number 6, Yes, I'm Ready.
Barbara Mason.
Yeah. Number 7, Seventh Son.
Johnny Rivers.
Number 8, Cara Mia.
The American.
I'm with you. That's just terrible. Number 9, You Turn Me On.
That Ian Whitcomb.
Yeah, think. I'm afraid so. Yeah, what was wrong with him? Number 10, What the World Needs Now is Love.
Jackie DeShannon.
All right, you aced it. Let's see how far you go. Number 11, okay. For Your Love.
Jerry Butler.
No, For Your Love, I Would Do Everything and More. That's for
sure. The Birds, the Yardbirds.
Yes, the Yardbirds, exactly. Number 12, Walk in a Black Forest.
Oh, is that a Horse Jan Kowski?
Yes, absolutely. I thought it was a wonderful instrumental. You betcha it is.
Nice stereo separation.
Yeah, the whole thing about that was nice. You know, I tell you. That's one where I was still glad they were forced to do news so they could play it once an hour. This will take us up to news. Yeah. So, yes. I'm Henry the Eighth I Am. Right, I believe it. Absolutely. Yes, so Henry the Eighth I Am, I Am.
Herman's Hermits.
Yeah. 14, Laurie.
Laurie.
Last night at the dance, I met Laurie, so lovely and warm and angel of a... Yes. All right. Number 15, Crying in the Chapel. Obviously not the Orioles. Yes, right. Number 16, Hush...
Or Dickie Lee.
Right, exactly. 16, Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte.
Patty Page.
Yeah. 17, What's New Pussycat?
Tom Jones.
18, A Little Bit of Heaven. I think this might have gotten me.
A Little Bit of Heaven. It may be getting me.
Yeah, it was on the Diamond label. How many artists can you name on Diamond in the mid '60s? I can only name one.
I think it got me.
Ronnie Dove.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And I swear I've never heard this record, but maybe I have. But it does.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah, and you know something tells me I don't wanna. So the following week got to number 16. I'm looking to see what happened to this record. It stalled at number 16. Yeah, all right. So not exactly a major hit for Ronnie. All right.
For Ronnie, yeah. All right.
Well, you did it. You did it. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. Excellent.
Okay, thanks.
Well done. Good deal. All right. And I too would have failed at that Ronnie Dove. So let's see. What do we have? We do more charts. It's always fun. Mark is in Aurora. How's it going, Mark?
Oh, I'm fine. And you know what? I can't imagine. I mean, you never make a fool out of yourself on the air. So what did you do to make a fool of yourself in public?
No, I can't. I can't share that. It was.
Oh, all right.
It was health-wise.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
I can only imagine.
Right. It was very embarrassing. But anyway.
You never make a... But you never, ever, ever make a fool of yourself on the air.
Oh, are you kidding? I think I do that 4 nights a week. All right.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, obviously. No, okay. Are you kidding? All right. We're going to do this week.
Yeah, Gary, I was going to do 1969 this week, but Gary did it last week, so I'm going to do 1970.
All right. Number 1, Mama Told Me. Not to
Come. Dog Night.
Yes. Number 2, The Look of Love. Oh, no, I'm sorry, wrong. Number 2, The Love You Save. Sorry about that.
Yeah, the Michael Jackson and the Jackson.
Yes, absolutely. Number 3, Bollock Confusion. That's what the world is
the
today.
Temptation.
Yes, absolutely, that Norman Whitfield crap. Number 4, Ride, Captain Ride.
Blues Image.
Number 5, Band of Gold, and not the old Don Cherry song.
Rita Payne.
Yes. Number 6, Lay Down Candles in the Rain.
Melanie Sofka.
Afraid so.
With the Edwin Hawkins
Singers.
Band.
Yes, indeed. On Buddha. Number 7, They Long to Be Close to You.
Carpenter.
Yep. 8, The Long and Winding Road.
Beatles.
Yeah. 9, The Wonder of You. Obviously, it's a remake.
Tom Jones?
No, it's worse than that. It is actually Elvis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, painful.
Now this would have been a year that I could easily have gone above 10, but I blew it with that one. Oh,
but dear. Number 10 is Hitchin' a Ride.
Vanity Fair.
Absolutely. And just for grins, number 11 is Gimme That Ding.
Oh, yeah, the Pipkin.
That's right. Gimme That Ding, Gimme That, Gimme. All right, and you know Ooh Child, obviously.
Oh, yeah, the Five Stair Steps.
All right, well, very good. You did very well. All right, hang on, don't
all
go
right.
away. Yeah, so that is the deal. Yeah, The Wonder of You, Elvis. It was a hit, too. Painful. All right, so 888-876-5593. Rita in Harwood Heights is perhaps guessing on our trivia question about George Washington, don't you know? And if you don't get it this tonight, this hour, in the next 15 minutes, it will hang on till next week. George Washington ordered his help to do this every morning. All right, so Rita in Harwood Heights, what do you think it is?
Well, I have a couple of things, maybe.
Okay.
That he needed to pray.
Nope.
When they got up.
You know, everybody's been guessing that. Interesting. A lot of people are thinking that, and it's not that.
Oh, okay. And then also, maybe raise a flag?
Nope.
Nope. And not pray, not say anything to the mother. Okay, well, that was my guess.
All right. Well, it actually was a chore. He's ordering his help to do this, and it is a chore. So you can be thinking about it and tell me next week.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right.
So, yes, absolutely, it's a chore. I don't think any other president asked anybody to do this for any reason in life itself. Ralph in Rockford, how's it going, Ralph?
Well, thank you. It's going very well. I am very impressed by the people that know all these charts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm getting inferiority complex.
Oh, no, you do very well with charts.
What? Well, I do. Hopefully I do, but I don't know if I can do that well. But tonight I was going to tell you a little bit, story of the 1966 chart of the, the Trap and Wild Thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I have a little The Wild Thing story.
Okay.
And I have to go back quite a few years here to Antwerp in Belgium, you know. And that was, in 91, 92, there, around there, they had a big a concert there from mostly English group.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then the Trog were supposed to perform, and they had these, those stages that, they have a roundabout that they can change it. Way. Okay. And then I was expecting the talks, okay, with Wild Thing.
Uh-huh.
All right. And so what came up is this, I think the main guy, his name was Presley, and he plays a flute in Wild Thing, you know. Right, and so you know the song. I know that. So, so then he also had this guy with a big guitar, and he played all these accords that the other members of the Trog would play, but they weren't there. So you had two Trogs.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and they played Wild Thing. Like, I couldn't even when you heard it. It was like the real group.
Let me interrupt you and say it's interesting. Yeah. The Trogs didn't have the original version of Wild Thing.
Oh,
it was a group from America, the Wild Ones, and it did not chart.
Oh.
And what happened was the Trogs version peaked on the UK single chart and then came back to the States. And so the first this first studio version was the Wild Ones in New York. And Chip Taylor wrote that. And in fact, Chip Taylor wrote that for them. And that was the deal. And so then, mm-hmm. of course, the Trogs, who were British, you know, they picked it up after that. And then, of course, the saddest, you know, Jimi Hendrix did it, too. It was pretty awful. But anyway, you know, if you remember, Cameo Parkway put it out with the next year, Senator Bobby. And in the middle of, you know, trying to promote this, he was killed. Mm-hmm. So they had to pull the record. So, yeah, the flip side was an impression of Everett Dirksen. So, yeah, Fancy did it as well. You remember that. And, yeah, so it was the Runaways did it and others. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was thank you very much for this enlightenment.
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, Belgium, not many people know this, but Belgium belongs to what they call the Benelux country. That's Belgium and the Netherlands, and of course the richest of all of them, those three countries, is Luxembourg.
Right.
Yeah, because you know, I know you remember Radio Luxembourg.
Oh, of course, everybody does. Yeah, everybody does. And Benelux is fairly well known as far as that goes. So absolutely. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very interesting. In Luxembourg, they have almost all the major banks, at least of Western Europe.
Yeah. These are the things we should talk about when it's not Monday Night Trivia.
Oh, okay. Well, I have some more trivia for you.
All right.
Because sometimes trivia comes up that I don't consider trivia either. Okay, so now I have... a little trivia at the end here about Phil Spector.
Okay.
Okay, and I just thought that the end that Phil Spector encountered, that was a very sad end, that he died in prison.
Right, but the whole thing was predictable. If you knew Phil Spector, this was going to happen.
Well,
all of it.
Well, the thing was, in the first court trial, he was found innocent.
I know.
Right. And then, you know, the story on the second one, he was found guilty, you know. So, but I just say that in my kind of thinking, in my mind, as the Spector, of course, he should not have killed that woman.
Undoubtedly. You know? Undoubtedly.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, whenever I had problems with women, I just walked out.
Well, yeah, I don't know that he had problems. Yeah. Phil and, you know, waving his guns around and all that, that's what I mean. It was bound to happen. And I mentioned before, I was living with somebody who was an associate of his, and he said, honey, we're going to have dinner at Phil Spector's. Make sure you tell somebody where we are. And I said, why? Yeah. And he said, because if he likes you, he doesn't let you leave. He holds you at gunpoint. And I said, I'm not going. Forget it. I said, there's no way. I do not want to have to go anywhere where I need to leave breadcrumbs so somebody can get me. So, no. But, yeah, he was well known for this crap. And I would almost assume that this was unintentional. But it doesn't matter. Dead is dead.
Yeah. Well, he shot that woman.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And he killed her. He killed her.
Yeah, well, of course he did. And yeah, and it's interesting, when Humble Harve murdered his wife, Phil was the one who hit him out. And yeah, because Harve was on KHJ at the time, and Phil hit him out until finally, you know, turned himself in, and, you know, only got about 2.5 years or whatever of actual time. But that's another story.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Okay, that was all for
all
tonight.
Right.
I know you got other people.
Yes, and call me early. Like, I know you call sometimes Tuesday through Thursday. Call me early, and we'll talk during the week.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a
lot. All right, so good
Bye-bye.
Stuff. All right, so 888-876-5593. Let's see. We have Anita in Beloit's going to get some a question. All right, Anita, what you think?
Okay. I got two guesses.
Okay.
I can't imagine that he's so different than everybody else in the world, regardless of what century he lived in. First guess, the weather. He checked the weather?
Nope.
Okay. Second guess, he checked his mail?
Nope.
No?
And you know, I'll tell you what. I don't know that many people, but I've never known anybody who not only did this, but asked other people to do it for them.
Oh, maybe he had his staff check the mail?
This is what?
Maybe he had his staff check the mail or the
weather? No, it has nothing to do with mail or weather.
Oh, okay.
No, it's really out there.
It's really out there?
I think it's really out there, but then again, how would I know?
Let's see, George Washington, was he the one that chopped down the cherry tree?
I don't know. Oh, well, it's by the way, supposedly, but I think that story's not true. Yeah, I don't think it's true.
Maybe he had them go out and pick fresh cherries.
I like that, but it's not right.
Okay. All righty. Well, those were my two guesses.
Well, that's very nice. Think about it, because it'll probably be here next week.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Have a nice
All right,
day.
You too. Okay. So 888-876-5593. I think we need to do this. Then I think we're going to get some American Lit and maybe some Flintstones and Seinfeld coming up on WGN Radio. All right, well, I'm going to just assume that that Adam keeled over. I don't know, but I'll just take it up till a few... Oh, no, I take it up to a few minutes before news. Yeah, we'll do that, I guess. All right, so we'll just move right on, won't we? And let's see, Alex in Round Lake, welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, Alex?
It's going real good. Thank you, Riley.
All right, so we're going to do American Literature, huh? Okay.
Okay.
All right. And I'm looking at this. Alice Siebold wrote a book in 2002, actually, The Lovely Blank.
Bones.
Yes, absolutely right. There you go. Just that easy.
Thank you.
All right. Hang on. Yeah. Don't go away. Yes. Bones indeed.
Okay.
All right. So there you have Bones. Now let's put Alex on hold and see what we can do about Dave on the north side. Hello, Dave. How's it going?
Hello.
Yeah, so we're back to Flintstones, are we?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, let's see what we can do with the Flintstones. And let's see here. All right, here we go. So... what was the name of the store that Fred went into to buy his Christmas presents before the play started? Bloomingdale's, Dino Macy's, J.C. Pennyrock, or Searsdale?
I don't remember this one. I'm going to guess J.C. Pennyrock.
Oh, I love that, but it's not right. It's Bloomingdale's.
Ah.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. So there you have it. And I'm done.
No, you can say.
Oh.
Go to prick.
Oh no, I didn't want to actually. No, okay. I'll do. No, I no way. That's not the way that's going to work, honey. All right. So let's. I'll take it to the top, which is probably 5730. If that's okay. Yeah. So that's how that's going to happen. So Jeff in Homewood, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going okay.
All right. So Seinfeld trivia, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's see what we can do about that. So we've got an entire quiz on breakup reasons. Okay. So we have here... that's too hard. Nobody can... get, well... Donna and Jerry, this is all about breakups on Seinfeld. Donna and Jerry disagreed about a television commercial. Jerry hated it. Donna liked it. Jerry could not get over the fact that Donna liked it, and she didn't appreciate that he told his friends about her opinion. The episode was called The Phone Message. And what I want to know is, what was the commercial about?
Boy, I remember Donna Chang, but...
All right, well, that pretty much is going to be a wrap. Sorry about that. Talk to you next week. We're over. All right. Apologies to Kay, to Alex, to Naoto, and to you, too, if you're hanging on. And that pretty much is a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Rip Current Rescue, plus Drug Mule Train, and Name That Goon. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Drone Patrol. New York's Rockaway Beach became a Rip Current rescue race when two swimmers started struggling in the surf just minutes after lifeguards had clocked off for the day. But before the situation could sink from serious to catastrophic, an FDNY drone operator spotted the pair from high above, deployed a flotation device, and directed rescuers straight to the scene. Looks like when the lifeguards went off duty, the drones were just punching in. Last train to Narksville. Did you know there's a secret tunnel under Southern California's Otay Mesa Freeway? The feds braying like burros over a big border bust they say they boarded in San Diego. Midnight Express revealing the freight escape, a third of a mile long underground drug rail line from Tijuana ending below a fake El Chapo on the U.S. side. The tunnel shuttle scuttle coughing up more than $45 million in cartel cocaine, the feds say. Four perps now poised for the pen. That's gall, folks. Cops in Oregon aren't kidding when they call this clown Looney Tune. That's his real legal name. But little else about Mr. Tune is legit, since cops captured the cartoon criminal after Big Bad Bang Bang back and forth. What's Up Croc has a rap sheet from here to absurdity, and now Looney Tune's set to do another 20 years in the Goonie Bin. This imitation's the weirdest form of felony. Stay tuned. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.